Hey everyone, this is Mike Lipkin, and I am the author of You Belong Here, together with my fabulous co-author, Dr. Diane McIntosh. And Diane, I always love these conversations. We've got into a cadence of having these conversations every second week, and we have them on a Friday afternoon. So not only does it end the week, but it also sets me up to have a great weekend. So just so you know, you are the reason why I enjoy my weekend so much.
It's me. Finally, we understand. I still have the rest of my day to live, but I'm so glad you get your setup to the weekend happening exactly. In this way.
Exactly right. And that's a good observation. So for whoever's watching, Diane's on the West Coast, I'm Toronto. And so there's that 3-hour time difference. So for Diane, her morning is kind of mid-morning at 11:30. But today, Diane, we are talking about the power of planning. We have a saying within the book that says, the future works best when you plan for it. But I want to read our viewers or listeners this paragraph, and I'd appreciate your comments on this. So it's the very first paragraph on page 239, Diane, where we've said, Diane and I have learned that business is a bunch of people coming together and pretending they know what's going to happen in the next 5 to 10 years. Diane, how do you do that? And then how do you actually monetize that pretension?
This was something that kind of blew my mind, because when I started working in a business, in a large organization, and having to create these business plans, and I thought, well, this is entirely fiction. But it's not complete, it's historical fiction, I would say, making these business plans, because you reflect on your past experience, your knowledge of the market and the product needs and that sort of thing. So it is a fiction, because you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow or 2 years from now. And being asked to do a 10-year business plan, to me, was just, I don't get it at all. But it is important to think about those unknown unknowns. It gets your mind in the place of thinking, what might we be missing here? And for my team, it was really, really a valuable exercise, even though in some cases it felt ridiculous.
No, exactly. And I like what you said, because we also go on to say, and it's an extension of your commentary, and that is, in the end, all success comes down to human beings doing their best. They're making up stories, rationalizing outcomes, recovering from mistakes, and creating their own realities. So we need to think in chunks of time that are reasonable while we prepare ourselves for other contingencies that will almost always shock and surprise us. And we said we call this activity planning. So we believe, as we write in the book, that planning is everything, plans are nothing, because the moment the plan is drafted, it starts to become obsolete. So, Diane, how does planning, even if it's the illusion that you can understand or foresee what's about to happen, but how does planning give you that sense of confidence and certainty?
Well, I think the process of planning actually pulls teams together. It should pull teams together to have those big conversations. And we will go through those fundamentals of planning. But for me, they were the foundation of my organization of Rapids, was the sessions we spent going through the fundamentals of planning, and continue to be to power. They're the really the foundation upon which we continually build, were those early planning sessions that we did. So it pulled us together as a team. It set to a good extent the kind of culture that we wanted, and it's that touchstone that we constantly come back to. So for me, it was a really, really powerful, important experience. And those fundamentals, as I was reading them over again, kind of give me the hair stands up on the back of my neck, because it just reminds me of how critical that time was for my organization.
Yeah, I love that. So, you know, on the one hand, as the Navy SEALs say, no plan survives first contact with the enemy. Right. So reality always defies what you think reality is going to be. But then what we say is planning focuses the mind on finding solutions that the plan is designed to solve. It's a source of confidence and self-empowerment that transfers itself to others. people are attracted to people who appear to know where they're going. And this is what I'm seeing, Diane, because, you know, I make a living much more than you just getting up in front of people and pretending that I know what's going to happen, but sounding like I definitely do. And it's the planning that allows me to talk with that level of conviction. And then we say, especially in times of extreme change, the belief that you have a plan can be interpreted by others as it is safe to take risk in pursuit of big goals because we have a plan to achieve the goal. So in many ways, and you're an entrepreneur, I'm an entrepreneur, success is about being able to present a plan and then sell that plan as a credible way to monetize opportunities or identify ways to grow a business or generate a return on investment.
I don't want to just stick to the entrepreneurial thing, because I think that it actually extends into the other part of my life, which is extremely important to me, which is as a psychiatrist. And, you know, people come to me, they're highly distressed, they're going through a very difficult time. I don't know what the journey is going to be, how they will respond to a particular treatment. But so you could say the plan that I lay out is a fiction, but it's not. It's historical fiction, meaning that I'm relying on my experience. And now, unfortunately, it's vast because I've been a psychiatrist for a very long time. So I know generally how people respond to treatments when they have particular disorders or particular overlapping disorders. And my confidence in the treatment choices that we're making together, my listening to them so they know their part, they're the most important part of the plan, that gives them confidence to try. Because it's scary. You feel awful. The treatment may or may not work. Why would I try? Because I feel hopeless and useless. You try because you trust me, and I have a lot of experience in helping to navigate this process. So in everything you do that is important to you, you can apply these principles.
So I like what you've said, because to a large extent, you are dealing with a human mind and you're dealing with biology. So when you have your treatment plan, that plan can be far more accurate in terms of playing out, because you're dealing with an entity that's going to respond a certain way. Now, I know everyone's biology works maybe slightly differently, but that plan, the treatment plan, would be potentially more accurate and would endure more effectively than the entrepreneurial plan that we've just been talking about.
Hopefully. Does that make sense? Hopefully, but you know, you never know when someone's going to respond to a treatment or not. There's a lot of interpersonal differences in how one person responds or another, or they're doing great on a treatment and suddenly their plan doesn't cover it anymore and you have to switch to another plan. There are a lot of factors that can change. But hopefully, because of my experience and the fact that we have limited treatment options and we know the science underlying it, that our path is a little bit smoother. But, and, you know, for a startup, I would say there's greater challenges overall, because you never know if someone's going to buy this at all. You know, you hope that you've done the work behind it. But I think the same patterns are similar patterns between both.
All right, very good. So we are now going to get into what we've branded as the three fundamentals of planning. And as Einstein said, simplicity is the highest form of intelligence. I'm sure I'm paraphrasing him. But as someone else said to me, nothing is more complex than the pursuit of simplicity. So what we've endeavored to do is to identify three simple components of powerful plans. And those components would be the why, the what, and the how. So let's start with the why. As we say in the book, it's about declaring your purpose, not just defining your purpose or expressing your purpose, but declaring it, saying it to others so that they hold you to account. And so they can actually help you realize your purpose. So we say here, your purpose is your why. It's the reason you are doing something. It is what gives you the urgency, the enthusiasm, and the love for what you do. So, Diane, let me ask you what your purpose is as you would declare it?
Well, what I'll share is, and there's a lot of work that goes into this process, but it, as I said, invaluable. So when I think about Rapids, which is my technology that I've been building, we came together and determined a purpose after a lot of work and a lot of insights that we gathered from everyone on the team. And it had to be something that I hoped our team members would wake up every morning and think, this is why I'm getting up. This is why I'm doing this work. This is where really it's our why. And for us, it was to create a world where optimal healthcare decisions are made with confidence and compassion. So that was our everyday why, our purpose. And it takes a lot of work to make that concise and a reason for getting up in the morning and going to work and continuing to try to create this entity, this product that we have.
I love it. And let me go deeper into why that's so meaningful to you. Why does that give you the mojo, the motivation, the excitement, the drive to confront the next 5 days on a Sunday night?
Why was our purpose so important? Because
to me personally? Yes.
That has been my purpose as long as I've been a physician, as long as I've been a healthcare professional, because I was a pharmacist, then medical school, then psychiatry, was how do I make healthcare better? How do I contribute? So the words like optimal healthcare and decisions that are not just my decision. I'm not the only person in this relationship. The therapeutic relationship is me and the patient. So how do we make sure that those decisions that we make are made confidently, which means using the science and knowing that we're using the best tools, the most important, valuable tools possible, but also infusing every decision with compassion. And compassion is also bidirectional. It's the compassion for the individual, the patient that I'm caring for, and also for the clinician, making sure that we are both cared for in that relationship. So it hit all of the most important things for me. And I hope it also, for all of my team members who aren't healthcare providers, they see themselves on the receiving end of that as a patient.
Mm. And look, we've known each other now for about 7 years. We met back in 2017. And that, for me, has always been the defining feature about you. So with me, it's a more simple purpose. And my purpose is simply to get people so excited that they do things that they otherwise would not have done. That's my purpose. Because when I see folks who share with me why they're not doing something and the pain they experience, not realizing their full potential, and then seeing other people doing the things they wish they would have done and reaping the rewards that they wish they would have got. Meanwhile, they didn't have the courage to take on those challenges. That's when I look at that person and I go, what were you truly afraid of? And when I ask them the question, Diane, they give me some fictitious reason that was their internal boogeyman or their internal barrier. And by then, sometimes it's too late, like the windows opened and closed and now they need to recreate themselves. But inevitably, they've missed a month or they've missed a year or they've missed a decade of pursuing and reaping the rewards of that opportunity. So for me, I love to say something to someone and just see the light go on and have them decide to go out there and make it happen. One of my favorite quotes is, fear kills more dreams than failure ever has. So my mission is to help people take on that fear and in fact, even relish that fear and make it work for them. So that's the why. You've heard Diane's why. You've heard my why. Let's go to the second fundamental, which is the what. Declaring the goal that will excite and motivate you and stretch you to go where you've never gone before. Now, we've created an acronym called DART, D-A-R-T, not SMART, DART. And the DART stands for the goal must be definite, clear, and explicit. It must be audacious, i.e. bold, daring, disruptive, and practical. It must be resolute. It must withstand doubts and setbacks. And it must be time-bound. There must be a specific date by which that goal will be achieved. Now, you can have more than one goal. We advocate not more than three because the human brain goes one, two, three, many. But Diane, let me ask you. So I know that it's been 6 months since our book was published. I know you've got many goals, but is there one goal that as you look out over the next year, that if you were to achieve it, it would make your next year a really spectacular year for you?
Yes. That's the answer to that question. What I want to speak to, though, is beyond that one goal, what I think you said that declaring your goals was your what? I think of it as the target. What do I want to achieve? And on our team, we use the BHAG, the big, hairy, audacious goal. And the one superseding that really is, I just love it. And I present it, I say it over and over and over again. And it hits all of our darts too. So it's our sort of number one, which is I want to revolutionize healthcare through innovation, education, and compassion. And you could say, well, this is a mental health care tool. This is about mental health, but mental health is health. So it is audacious. It's big. It's revolutionizing not just mental health care, but health care. And we're doing it through the technology, which is the innovation, the education, which is both for the provider and for the patient, and the compassion. Every word in it is infused with compassion, both for the clinician and the patient. Everything that we do, we think about that. So for me, that BHAG has been everything. And if I deliver that every single day, are we innovating? Are we educating? Are we doing it compassionately? And every person on my team has to constantly think about this. Are we living to what we're imagining this will be? Because it's never going to end. We're always going to be chasing that. And it really has transformed my view every day. We gotta achieve this.
Wow. That is powerful, and I can hear how it truly has permeated your DNA.
It's in there.
Your voice got louder and stronger as you were articulating it. Your face lit up. I can feel the dopamine from across the continent. So in my case, Diane, it is I've got three goals. The first is I want to move 100,000 of this book because I know. If we move 100,000 copies and we get this into 100,000 households, amazing things would happen. We'll revolutionize healthcare. And I know that my thoughts combined with your thoughts will be exciting people to take actions they wouldn't have taken. I also want to do at least 100 workshops, because if I do 100 workshops or keynote addresses, I'll get in front of all these folks and be able to make that difference as well. And there's also a revenue number that's attached to that, because I am a big fan of capitalism, but I believe in capitalism with a purpose, not capitalism just for the sake of enriching Mike Lipkin. And I know that if I enrich your life, then through reciprocation, my life will be enriched in so many different ways. So hopefully everyone who's watching and listening to us has heard of our why. And now they've got our what, or the target as you define it. Let's look at the final element of strategy, which is the how, which is the strategy. And a strategy is defined by us as a disciplined method for consistently achieving your desired results. The issue of strategy is its repeatability. So if you have a powerful, potent, proven strategy, you know that if you do certain actions, you are likely to reap certain rewards. So let me repeat that. Your strategy is a disciplined method for consistently achieving your desired results. Now, we created a strategy for this book together. So I'm just going to share the five elements of our strategy that Diane and I engaged in. And then, Diane, I just would very much appreciate your comments on strategy as a whole. So if you think about a book like this, and God knows that this is a red ocean, There's so many self-help books. There are so many books professing to help you run a business or enhance or enrich your life. So the first distinction that we wanted to establish was to differentiate ourselves. And so we believe that this book is the first time a motivational speaker partnered with a renowned psychiatrist to bring a book that helps people bring compassionate leadership to their firms. So we look for that differentiation. In other words, we play to our strengths. The second thing we look for was the need for a book of this nature. And so we're living in a peri-pandemic world where we still are wrestling with the COVID trifecta of isolation, fear for health, and financial crises. And so we saw a very big need for companies to have a guide that will help them help their people get through this very challenging time. Number three, we created this powerful value proposition. And this is why I love the discipline of creating a heading or a title and a subhead for the book, because our value proposition is very, very simple. How to make people feel safe to be their best, take bold risks, and win. And so I find when I've got a very succinct value proposition, then I'm free to elaborate on that value proposition because people are waiting for the substantiation. Our fourth element of the strategy was to design, produce, and package a phenomenal product. And that's why we partnered with the Page 2 Publishing Company to create a fabulous book in its analog form. We've got it in the ebook form, and we've also got it in its audiobook form. And then finally, our fifth pillar of our strategy is to distribute, market, and sell through every appropriate channel. And this is where we harness the power of Amazon, both in terms of distributing the analog book. We also harness the power of Amazon in terms of distributing the ebook through Kindle. And we harness the power of Amazon through distributing the audiobook on audible.com. And the extraordinary thing about Amazon as one of the biggest companies on the planet is just how extraordinary they are at partnering with small business people like Diane and myself to get this book out there. So those were five ways in which we defined our how. Scan for the need, play to our strengths, create a powerful value proposition that differentiates us, design, produce, and package a phenomenal product, and then distribute, market, and sell through every appropriate channel. Diane, I'm just curious, just to get your commentary about strategy beyond just the strategy we apply to the book, maybe just your reflection on strategy as it applies to your world or your business or your life.
So if you're someone like me who has big ideas, when I pitched this idea to the CEO of TELUS, hey, I got all this stuff in my head. How do I get to more people? How do I support my family practice and nurse practitioner colleagues, my fellow psychiatrists to have the standard of care, to have this tool? That's a big idea. This is my BHAG, right? But the how? Now that's the work. And so I have surrounded myself with brilliant people who know how to create a strategy. They assess the need in the environment. Do you need something like this? And we found out you do. We do need rapids. And then what are the strengths that we can offer? And what is the value prop? And we found out that there's a value prop in all kinds of different areas. Now, how do we focus on those? And then the marketing and the sales and the delivery. This is a huge amount of work. But it's how you achieve your goals. So making sure, and there's some people that are tactical people, they get in there, they get their elbows out and they get the work done. But if you don't have that solid strategy, you're toast. And you're sometimes that's not you. I'm a big ideas person and I'm a psychiatrist and I know, you know, those are my strengths, but I have incredible people that help me to formulate that strategy and deliver on what we have agreed to and helping us move towards our BHAG to deliver on our goals.
So good. And look, in my world, Diane, you are one of those incredible people. Without you, this would never have happened. And whether it's your words in here or even my words inspired by your words, you are that catalyst. You are my one person ecosystem that made this possible. So
we're a good team, Mike,
on that regard. And I want to wrap up. So at the end of every chapter here, we have what Diane calls the quick win. And I can't think of a better way to close this podcast with this quick win. Based on what Diane and I have just shared with you, craft your why, what, and how. Then share it with me and share it with the other important people in your network. Do it today. Send it to me this weekend. Begin now, because your future will grow from the seeds you plant today. As someone once said to me, the best time to plant a tree was 25 years ago. Second best time is now. So do it now.
And it doesn't have to be everything. It doesn't have to be perfect, because doing these things takes time. But just getting that kernel, getting that seed planted, that's the way to start. And then you can build. And all of this is iterative. You learn every step of the way, and you think, oh, okay, I got to be a little different here. Learn from your customers, learn from your friends, learn from your colleagues, find your new path.
Perfect.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you, Diane.